Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Hope everyone is doing well on this chilly day on Monday, alhamdulillah, November 23rd. It's the week of, you know, people usually have this week off to a certain extent. This is a week of kind of getting together with people's families. Alhamdulillah, we're really honored that you are making Roots a small part of that week, alhamdulillah. So inshallah, we want to do a really, really quick reflection today, a really quick session that helps us kind of get into the spirit of the week and gets us into the idea of how we can benefit from this week the most. And today's session, as you can see on the titles, is titled Greed, the Hunger of the Eyes. And the first question that we want to ask today is, you know, the question we want to answer, we just want to have an objective with every single thing that we do, every single session that we host here at Roots. One thing that we all try to do is have an objective. What is the objective? And so the objective of today is to try and understand why greed and stinginess is an ailment. It's a sickness for the human race. Why is it something that we all struggle with when it comes to spending for the sake of Allah, when it comes to giving away, you know, things that belong to us, when it comes to wanting things for ourselves? Why is greed always a difficult kind of mountain to overcome in that journey? So today, alhamdulillah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So the first question I kind of wanted to ask everybody is, what are some of the reasons why people worry about the loss of money? Can anybody reflect really quickly with me? So anybody on Instagram and obviously the people on Facebook right now, why do human beings, what are some of the reasons that human beings have a fear of the loss of money? And anyone kind of share some reflections on that? We want to kind of, because I actually want to learn, because I have my own opinions and my own thoughts, but I wanted to actually gauge the audience to see what you all think about why human beings have this constant fear of poverty. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually said something about this, but I wanted to reserve the Prophet's wisdom and his reflections for the end of the session. And so we want to kind of like hear what we have to say and see if we can, inshallah, have a little bit of, you know, rhetoric going on here. Money is important. Okay, very good. Money is important. Money is a very, very important thing in life. You know, the money is at the end of the day what puts food on the table for our families at nighttime. The ability to work, the ability to gain money for an easy life, very good. It is just the way that the world works at this point, right? Money is what makes the world kind of continue to go around. and I would actually even say that money is to a fault what makes the world go around. Very good. Something is money what helps us live? Okay, because we believe money can give you what you need versus Allah. Okay, it's almost like a, and that's a very good point right there, by the way, that we kind of have convinced ourselves that money at the end of the day is what allows us to do what we do. You know, one of our teachers, and I've heard this before, one of our mentors and elders, they said that if you really want to know what you worship, go check your bank statements, right? Go check what you spend your money on, right? Do we give our money away to charity? Do we withhold from spending money all the time on things that we want? Or are we constantly at the mercy? Are we enslaved to our desires when it comes to money, right? Oh, I need that thing. Oh, or I need this thing, right? Very good. They might not be able to pay for their house payments. Okay, very good. So these are good reflections that we're thinking of on why money is sometimes a worry for people. So let's talk a little bit about our you know, dependency on money as a human race. So there's actually a narration that Ka'b ibn Iyad, radiallahu anhu, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that verily every nation from the beginning of mankind to the end of mankind will have their own trials, right? So for example, a certain generation of humanity will have a certain trial. Another generation of humanity will have another trial. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he actually says that the trial of my ummah, the trial of my nation, he says, my nation is money or wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says this, the trial of the Prophet of the nation from his own words is not warfare. It's not halal and haram. It's not, you know, music. It's not, you know, indecency. He says that the trial for his ummah is going to be centered around money. And actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about this in the Quran. He speaks about this in the 102nd chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Takathur. He says, Al-Hakum Al-Takathur. Okay, Al-Hakum Al-Takathur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that verily that the competing to amass wealth will overtake you. Okay, competing in worldly increases will divert you. All right, al-hakum al-takathur, that when you're, you know, trying to race for wealth, it'll just consume your life. It'll divert you. The word divert in English means that it'll kind of like lead you away. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even confirms in the Quran that money is extremely distracting. That's one of the first kind of characteristics of money, is that money distracts. Money kind of takes you away, right? You know, when you're, and money sometimes buys people out, right? So for example, how many stories have we ever heard in our lives where somebody may have a certain set of principles and morals and values until they're offered that paycheck? They're offered that paycheck, they're offered that contract, they're offered that sum of money. And now you're like, oh, well, if we're talking that much, well, maybe we can kind of like make something work. Right. And so people, you know, really, you know, we need to understand that Allah mentions this in the Quran, al-hakum al-takathur, that verily the competing in gaining money and worldly increase will divert you from what's really true. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, Allah says, until you see the grave. Right? Until you witness the grave. Because the grave is something that kind of reminds us that money isn't everything, right? I know a lot of people, you know, when we see people who have passed away, or we go to a janazah, the prayer that honors the people who have passed away, that we pray for their forgiveness. And we realize that, you know, it almost like brings us to a realization that when we see a person, when we go to their janazah prayer, and we see them wrapped up in that like white cloth, it really almost like it breaks you down as a human being. Because you see this person in their life as, mashallah, a person who is a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, a teacher, an artist, a photographer, a software engineer, a biomedical this or whatever. But then everybody who passes away, when you go to their janazah, they're wrapped around this white cloth. And everyone looks the same. And so when we see that death really kind of hatta zurtumul maqabir, and then when you're in the grave, you realize that money is so fickle, right? And so when Allah says that, you know, al-hakum al-takathur, that the race in gaining worldly increase will divert you, we understand that human beings have always been attracted to wealth. Right? Mali, mali, right? My money, my money. Human beings have always been attracted to this idea of wealth. And, you know, when we look at the source of a lot of worldly issues, if you think about it, right? Look at the world's poverty. Look at the world's corruption. A lot of things are actually centralized by the corruption that money has, that money has put in people's lives, right? When you look at the rich taking advantage of the poor, you look at countries waging war against other countries, the disposition, the status quo has always been a gain for money, a gain for wealth, right? And if you want any proof of this, look no further than you know, what kind of season we're coming upon right now, right? We're in the week of Thanksgiving. We're about to approach a Friday called Black Friday. And Black Friday is that one day of the year where like stores, and now obviously we have like Cyber Monday and all these kind of online opportunities to buy and, you know, get like kind of like benefit from sales and whatnot. But this whole idea of this season, Black Friday, you know, I remember once my wife and I, we were watching this film. And the film started off really interestingly. It started off by almost like bringing out like a satirical version of what this time of year represents, right? That people say that this time of year is supposed to be like, you know, people get together with their family members, people take time off from work to kind of just spend time with their loved ones. But then they pan out to the reality of what this time of the year has become. And it starts off by kind of like the camera opens and it shows like, like a store door, like kind of opening, and people just rushing through like animals. And all of the store owners and clerks are trying to like hold everybody back and telling everybody, please, one at a time, don't rush, don't stampede. And you see people rushing through the doors, heading towards that 75-inch TV, heading towards that laptop that they wanted all year, heading towards that phone, heading towards that washer dryer set that you really wanted, that electronic device that you've been dreaming about that entire year. And there's like literally scenes of people like pulling things away from other people. There's like a kid who grabbed a toy that he wanted, and a parent, a fully grown adult, literally takes it and yanks it away from that kid because like we're just trying to capitalize on this wealth, right? We're trying to capitalize that, like, oh God, like I gotta get this, I gotta get this. And when we get it makes us feel better about ourselves. And the scary thing really is that a lot of diseases of the heart, when we talk about diseases of the heart, things that actually occupy our hearts, like jealousy, anger, arrogance, lying, cheating, deception, theft, whatever it may be, money is actually found at the source, right? This is why money is such it's such a source of a lot of the issues that we go through, right? Oh, I don't like arrogance, for example. Because you have a lot of money, you feel better than other people. Cheating. There's actually a very, very famous narration that actually says that the most hated place to Allah is the marketplace. One of the most hated places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the marketplace. Why? We're like, oh, wait, I go to the mall, right? I go to the store. I go to HomeGoods. I go to Target. What's wrong with the marketplace? Because the marketplace, the souq, is a place where people are robbed, right? You think about it, people are robbed. Not maybe not directly, but indirectly, emotionally, mentally, they're robbed. They feel like if they don't buy a certain product that they're not good enough, right? This world is kind of like built to make you feel that you're not enough. If you don't get that new iPhone 12 today, then you're gonna fall behind. Look at young people, look at young Muslims. I'm a youth director, right? I see people all like especially the past month, the PS5, it's like everything, right? $499 sold out at all stores. Best Buy will kind of ship in their new stock for the Black Friday, Friday and then Cyber Monday and like the Christmas holidays or whatever it may be. And people like, I gotta get my hands on that. And what happens if you don't? You're made to feel like you're a loser. You're made to feel like you're missing out. You're nobody if you don't have that thing. So we kind of centralize our lives around this idea that like we need these things, right? I need it. I need to have that new thing. I need to be with that new thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually mentions that in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talks about his own in his own narration. He actually says in an authentic narration that's actually in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, he says, if the son of Adam had a valley full of gold, a valley full of gold, it's like just piling up with gold and wealth, he would want to have two valleys, right? And you remember, we always say to ourselves that, and I remember sometimes like we had these conversations when we were younger. We're like, oh man, if I had this amount of money, I'd be happy, right? Oh, like if I just made like $100,000 a year, I'd be set. I don't need anything else, right? Oh, if I had like $5 million, like I'd be happy. I don't need anything else. That's just like my goal in life. But the reality is, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, trust me, I know you. I know human beings. And this is the beauty of the Prophet and the beauty of his teachings, is that he was a master of the human being, right? He knew what the tendencies of people were. And he knows what your likes and dislikes are. And so the prophet, he said that if the son of Adam was given a valley filled with gold, right? Was given a valley in like completely, mountained, like lumped up with gold, he would want to have two of those. One wouldn't be enough for him anymore, because a human being continues to want more and more and more. And he says, nothing fills his mouth but the dust of the grave. Nothing fills his mouth but the dust of the grave. Okay. And says, yet Allah will relent to whoever repents to him. He says that, people will constantly want more until they pass away. And when they pass away, they realize that everything they prioritize in this life was really not something worth prioritizing, right? And we learn in this hadith that the pattern of wealth is that it teaches you to never be satisfied. Right? Wealth really does teach you the lesson that you are never satisfied. You could always have more. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-haakumut takathur, competing, competition, because wealth is all about competition. It's never about what you need, right? Hey, ask yourself really, right? Human beings, what do we honestly really need to survive? What do we need, right? My wife and I, we have this conversation a lot. We're like, oh, we should get that. Like, you know, like I kind of want that. But I was like, do I really need it, right? Do I really need that? Do I need that to survive? Do I need that to change my life, right? Like, the answer majority of the times is I don't need it. Because need is something very, very serious, right? Like, I need food. I need to eat food. I need water. I need to drink water. I need a place to stay that has like a roof over my head. You know, I need certain things in my life. But the majority of things in life, you'll see more rather than not, is things that you want. I want that. It'll make my life so much easier. And you know, sometimes because nowadays we have this kind of like this surge of like technology, we say like, oh, this is really cool, it'll make my life so much easier. And sometimes like it's such a slippery slope when we tell ourselves like, oh, it's just something that will make my life easier. And you realize you go down this rabbit hole of never ending. So when you upgrade, you get the next model, you want to upgrade to the next model after that. And then when you get to the next model after that, you want to upgrade to the next model after that, the year after. I remember the first time I bought one of my cars. I remember I bought my car and I, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, something I say that our parents really did teach us, you know, at least myself and my siblings, is our parents taught us to be very, very content people, because we did not grow up with a lot of luxury when we were young. And so, you know, my parents drove like a beaten down like Toyota Camry from like 1992 or 3 or something like that. And my first car was like a broken down Nissan Altima. And so I never really ever, you know, had this urge to want like amazing things in my life, because that's just the way my parents had taught me to kind of function. And I remember when I kind of, you know, was of adult age, I was like 23 years old. And I remember that was the first time I ever had access to adult money, because that's the first time I got my job and I was working full time at that point. And I realized, you know what, like, bismillah, I want to go get a car. And when I want to get a car, you know, I remember like, you know, my friends and the people that knew better about cars than I did, they always advised me. They said, hey, make sure that like, you get what you want and you're satisfied with it, right? Like, don't like get something that you know you're not gonna be satisfied with. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? All right, I'm just gonna be satisfied with whatever car I get. It's a new car. So I get a new car, I got the base model of the car that I got. And I was like, alhamdulillah, super happy. Super happy. I was like, man, mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me a blessing. This is awesome, right? First time I ever bought myself something really nice with my own money. And then I realized that cars, the new edition of the cars come out a little bit earlier than the year ends. And I remember I saw the first commercial for my car, but just the next year's model. And everything that was luxury that I denied of the year that I bought it in was standard for the next year. So for example, like push button start, giant like touchscreen dashboard, all that stuff was standard for 2018. And I looked at my car and I'm like, man, this car that I really thought was like beautiful like 5 months ago is now all of a sudden kind of ugly. You know, like this car's ugly all of a sudden. Like it looks so nice like 4 months ago. Nothing changed, right? The car's exactly the same paint color, still very new because it's only 4 or 5 months old. But all of a sudden, this new car that I saw in the advertisement looks amazing. Why? So this is what, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he meant that when the son of Adam gets a valley full of gold, then he'll want two valleys full of gold. That you'll never be satisfied with what you have until you practice taqwa. Until you practice God consciousness. And that is the ultimate goal, is that when we practice taqwa, and you know, the way I like to actually define the word taqwa is being aware. And being aware of Allah also means being aware of other things as well, right? There's a very famous narration that says, "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu." And this narration means, those who understands, he or she who understands themselves, من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه, they therefore understand their Lord. And so to understand Allah is to actually understand your own tendencies, right? To be aware of Allah, you are aware of who you are as a person. You are aware of your limitations. You're aware of your boundaries. You're aware of what weaknesses and strengths you have. And so taqwa really is the key, right? And so here, I want to give an example from another tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, where he says that the son of Adam, right? The children of Adam, Bani Adam, cannot fill a vessel. And this is actually a narration that the prophet is alluding to greed, not just with money, but just with everything. Not just with money, but with everything. And so he brings an analogy over to the conversation of greed, but he's talking a little bit about something different. He's talking about food now. And look at the way the Prophet ﷺ breaks this down. He says, the son of Adam and the daughter of Adam, Bani Adam, cannot fill a vessel worse than his stomach. Okay? The children of Adam cannot fill a vessel worse than their stomach, as it is enough for him to take a few bites to straighten his or her back. So the prophet's saying that the reason why you should eat is to survive. Eating is not for luxury, it's because you need it to survive. And the prophet says that when you should eat enough so that your back is straight, meaning that like you're not hungry, you're not starving, you're not deprived of nutrition, so you're not like malnourished. You have enough food so you can actually stand up straight, full energy. And by the way, the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would survive, would eat, would drink, would have family, would have a home, all of those things, was the reason why he would do those things was to pray, was to worship, right? Like your objective of survival is not to eat. Your objective of survival is not to work. Your objective of survival is not to like be luxurious. Your objective of survival as a human being is to worship Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, right, that I have وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created mankind and jinn except to worship me. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Except to be worshippers, right? That's what your goal is in life. Sometimes we get so caught up in this life where our thesis statement of life changes. Like, why are you alive? What's your purpose? Oh, because I want to be an engineer. What's your purpose in life? I want to be a doctor. Why are you here on this earth? Because I want to be like a photographer. I want to be an artist. I want to be an athlete. No, no, no. Those are just a means to the end. Your goal in life is to worship. Because if you weren't worshiping Allah, then what's the point of you and me being here? What's the point of you and I sitting here looking, smelling, like tasting, hearing, feeling? Like all of these things are useless. It's to worship Allah. Because this life is meaningless without it. And so whenever the Prophet used to advise people to like, don't eat too much, because when you all you do when you eat is just to straighten your back so you can pray. Like, why would you do, like, you know, and there's a lot of teachers who teach us like examples of this about kind of like the temporary nature of this world. Like, would you ever go to a hotel room and start to kind of like put in nails in the walls to hang up like, you know, wallpaper and wall art and decoration, go to Home Goods, buy a couple of pieces for your coffee table and get some new bed sheets for your hotel bed and, you know, get something nice to kind of put as a decoration piece in the corner of the hotel room? You wouldn't. Why? You'd call somebody crazy. Because it's a hotel room. You're there for a week. You're there for a couple days. You're not there forever. So why would you set up shop there? The same thing works with our objective in this life. We don't live to work. We don't live to eat. We don't live to enjoy. We don't live to live luxuriously. We don't live to do any of that. We live to worship. All the other things are just ways that Allah keeps us going. Your career, you should love it. Why? Because it's a way of ultimately putting food on the table for your family. Because you want to love what you do. You want to love the way that you actually gain money and take care of your family. Why do you want to have good companions? Because you want to influence each other in good ways. Why do you have hobbies? Because it's a way that you remember Allah's blessings, right? Everything has to kind of center back towards Allah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, beware of greed. Beware of greed, he says, for it was only greed that destroyed those before you. You know, one of the most beautiful blessings in our lives is history. Because history for us is not like entertainment. You know, that's why I always say, like, when you go and read history books, it shouldn't be like, oh, wow, George Washington, cool, right? Like, Thomas Jefferson did what, right? Like, history is more than that. It's not so you can take a test. One of the biggest blessings of history is for you to improve as a human being, like to learn the mistakes and what worked for people that came before you. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in a hadith, he says, beware of greed, for it was only greed that destroyed those who came before you. It was commanded, it commanded them to be miserly, and they did so. Greed commanded people who came before us to be miserly, and they did so. It commanded them to sever ties with their families, and they did so. It commanded them to behave wickedly, and they did so. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, read the stories of the people in the past. Look at the people that lived in the past, right? We talked about stories of prophets before, the Ad, the Thamud. You know, there's a part of the Quran where Allah references these like amazing people. And you know, sometimes like we think like we're like super advanced like civilization now, like having technology and this, and we have like Amazon Alexa and Google Home and Teslas and like AI and this and all these different things. And we think to ourselves like we're some like crazy advanced civilization. Guess what? Every civilization that came before us thought they were advanced. You know, when the television first came out, they were like, moving pictures. It's like Harry Potter. Like, what is this thing, right? TV was a big deal. Before that, radio. I can hear live streamed somebody talking from some random place via radio signals, right? Before that, it was like books, things that were printed. We never had printed things before. Like, wow, this is amazingly advanced, right? And Allah references these civilizations in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَجَابُ سَخْرَ بِالْوَادِ, right? He says, وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُ سَخْرَ بِالْوَادِ, right? That you know, these people, these civilizations before when they came with the prophets, they were like advanced. The Ad, إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ, they used to build their castles, their homes out of the mountains. They were like the creme de la creme, like the people that were like the richest people to ever exist. But what destroyed them eventually? What destroyed them eventually is their greed and their arrogance. Their greed and their arrogance. SubhanAllah. And you know, one of the most amazing examples that the scholars, they actually teach us, is that when you think of greed, think about one of the first forms of disobedience that was committed towards Allah ever in the history of humanity. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam, لَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ, don't go near this tree. Don't go near this tree. You can do whatever you want to. Go enjoy the rest of Jannah with Hawa. Go enjoy, be happy, be merry, do whatever you want to. لَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ, do not go near this one tree. Just, I have one command for you. Do not go near the tree. Shaitan comes up to Prophet Adam and he says, really? Really? Like, aren't you curious? Don't you want to go see what that tree is like? Like, I know you're allowed to go do everything else that you want to, but aren't you curious as to what that tree is like? And at that moment, for a moment, and this is like the humanity of Prophet Adam, even though he had everything else, everything paradise is like there for him. And this is why, by the way, you know, we as Muslims are very greedy with Allah sometimes. You know, we ask Allah, Ya Allah, why is that impermissible? Why is this impermissible? Why can I do this? Why can I do that? The reality is that Allah made 99% of things on this earth halal. 99% of things He made halal, right? You can do what you want to, just stay away from specific things. And we complain about those things. It's one of the biggest signs of ingratitude. One of the biggest signs of ingratitude. Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that one of the biggest signs of ingratitude, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ, that canoods, that ingratitude, is when you count the things that ail you. You count the things that bother you. You count the calamities that hit you. So when you look at something that you wanted to do and you can't do it, you're like, man, I can't do anything. But what do you not acknowledge? You don't acknowledge everything that's a blessing for you. You don't acknowledge all the things that you're allowed to do. You acknowledge the things that Allah tells you to stay away from. Oh Allah, why? Why Allah? Why? It's like Bani Israel syndrome, right? Bani Israel, why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Questioning everything. So when you question so much of what you can't do, you miss the blessings of the things that you can do. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to be careful of that. And he said, and you know what's really interesting is that, you know, we fear of poverty. You know, we are afraid of like money leaving us. Like when we give money away, we think that it's going to like harm us and we're going to go poor or we're going to be impoverished or whatever it is. The Prophet says something very beautiful about that. He says, Oh my Ummah, I do not fear poverty for you. The Prophet says, he said this, it's his words. He says, my Ummah, I do not fear poverty for you. Rather, I fear that you will compete for riches. He goes, I don't fear for poverty, I fear for wealth. That's not a fear for your poverty. You guys are worried about like running out of money. I'm worried about y'all gaining too much money. That's what I'm afraid about. The Prophet ﷺ was a visionary, man. He's a visionary. Because you know what's incredible? Is that people who do not have money, they have more time for Allah sometimes. People who do not have money, they're not clouded by like wealth and material goods and worldly matters. They have more time for Allah. They have more time for Allah. They don't got time for Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and followers and Netflix specials, and they don't got time to buy the newest iPhone or the newest MacBook or the PS5, and they can't afford any of that stuff. They don't got to worry about which Breville Barista Express is like the best. They don't got to worry about which like new crock pot is like the best to cook in. They don't got to worry about like which knife is like $500, which is the knife that Gordon Ramsay uses that I can buy myself. No, people who don't have money don't worry about that stuff. They don't have the option to, because Allah has not given them that wealth to think about. So reality is, the people who are really tested are the ones who actually have the riches. And the Prophet confirms that. He goes, I'm not worried about you in poverty. I'm not worried about you all with poverty. I'm worried about when you have wealth. Because when you're impoverished, when you don't have money, sometimes it's better for you. When you don't have that money, sometimes it's better for you, because you have more time for Allah. When you have money, that's the moment where you actually neglect Allah. You forget about Allah. And he says that, I do not fear for your mistakes. Rather, I fear for what you do on purpose. I don't fear for your mistakes. I rather fear for what you do on purpose. The things that are mistakes, you know, poverty, things that you cannot control sometimes. Mistakes are, again, at the end of the day, mistakes. You sometimes cannot control your mistakes. There are human lapses in judgment. What he says, I worry about your riches. I worry about your money. I worry about the things that you do purposely. And this is actually in Musnad Imam Ahmed. And so he says, beware of luxury. Beware of luxury. Verily, the servants of Allah do not live luxuriously. Subhanallah. So how can we kind of get ourselves to the stage where we do not obsess over greed and wealth and try to get ourselves a little bit away from material goods? Here's a couple of things I want to share with y'all to end today's session. Very beautiful hadith. The Prophet, he says, spend in charity and do not count it. Subhanallah. Very simple. He says, spend in charity and do not count it. Spend in charity and do not count it, lest Allah will count it against you. Do not hoard, lest Allah withhold from you. Subhanallah. You know what the Prophet is saying here? He goes, don't count your charity. Would you like Allah to count everything against you? Oof, man, subhanallah. He goes, we as human beings do things that we hope Allah does not do to us. You know, there's a very special ayah revealed in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells people to forgive other people. And he says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ? He goes, would you not like Allah to forgive you? Would you not like God to forgive you at the end of the day? Then why do you have trouble forgiving other people? When do you have trouble why do you have trouble forgiving other people in your life? Would you not like Allah to forgive you? That's really deep. Because when we think about it for ourselves, we want Allah's forgiveness. We want Allah to overlook our faults. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook all the mistakes that we make in our lives. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not scrutinize every single mistake that we make. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook a lot of the things that we made mistakes on. But when it comes to us, we count every single thing that we do. Oh Allah, I gave that charity. Knock that one down as a reward for me. Oh Allah, like, you know, like, and whenever somebody does something wrong to us, we hold it against them. We hold it against them. We say, oh, this person did this and this and this and this to me. I will never forgive that person. That's messed up, bro. I got to hold that person accountable. Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّنَا أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ? Would you not like Allah to forgive you? Then why don't you forgive other people? If you want Allah to do things to you, you got to follow that same principle. And so the Prophet, he says, do not spend in charity and count it. Don't count your charity, lest Allah count it against you. Don't allow that to happen, right? Make sure that because Allah overlooks your sins, you don't count things in your life. Imagine, subhanAllah, imagine if Allah was like, yup, all right, Khadija, so you looked at your mom in a weird way at 9 a.m., and then your father asked you to do something you didn't do at 10 a.m., and then you looked at your brother in a kind of a rude way at 10:15, and then you walked past, you know, your driveway, and you saw a piece of trash on the floor at 10:45, and you did not pick it up. You got in your car, you sped and cut off somebody at 10:55, and you did this, and you're like, are you going to count all those things against me? No, Allah will never do that. Allah doesn't do that. Allah says, you know, like, you did this, you made a mistake, that's annoying. It's a mistake. You actually, in fact, asked for forgiveness for it, so I'm going to actually reward you instead. You repented for it, so I'm going to actually give you a good deed because you repented towards me. You asked me for forgiveness, so I'm going to replace that bad deed with a good deed. So don't count every single thing that happens in your life. That's number one, okay? The Prophet also says, generosity is near to Allah. Generosity is near to Allah, nearer to paradise, near to the people, and far from the fires of Jahannam. Miserliness is far from Allah, far from paradise, far from the people, and near to hellfire. An ignorant, generous person is more beloved to Allah than a stingy scholar. Subhanallah. He says that an ignorant, generous person is more beloved to Allah than a stingy scholar. Y'all, do not worry about the exterior. Do not be like, oh, you know, like if I portray myself as a Muslim and mashallah, like hijab, beard, cap, kufi, thobe, you know, I go and like salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, like every single like haraka and every single, you know, syllable is pronounced beautifully, every letter is pronounced with tajweed. Don't worry about that stuff. Allah says that an ignorant and generous person is more beloved to me than a stingy scholar. Subhanallah, always focus on what matters. So number one, understand yourself and your weaknesses. Understand who you are, because one who knows themselves will understand Allah. If you know yourself, you are better equipped to handle trials and challenges. Number one. Number two, realize that it is human nature to want more. It is human nature to want more. And to battle that feeling, we practice the idea of being content with what we have. Do not try to compete with people in amassing things in this life. It's not worth it. There will always be somebody who has something better than you. You will never, wallahi, you will never be able to be a person who says, I have the most this in this life. Never. There will be somebody who lives in a random place that always has a better version of what you have. If you think you have the best home, there's somebody who has a better home than you. If you think you have the best car, there's somebody who has a better car than you. If you think you got the best phone, there's somebody who has a better phone than you. If you think you got the best clothes, there's somebody who has better clothes than you. Always understand that in this world, when it comes to this world, there will always be people who have better things than you do. The best thing to do for yourself, the best thing to do for your own spirituality, for your own mentality, for your own sanity, is to be happy with what you have and not always ask yourself what you want, rather ask yourself what you need. That's number two. Number three is reflect on if we would want Allah to be greedy with our good deeds and sins. If Allah is generous with us, we should be generous with other people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah azza wa jal to forgive us, and we ask Allah to always allow us to be people who give more than we consume. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who learn from our mistakes. Is it wrong to not be able to forgive someone for harming you? That's a good question. That's a very good question. Because at the end of the day, the reality is, what is your definition of forgiveness, right? My idea of forgiveness is being able to, in a clean way, say salamu alaykum to a person and wish well upon them without having any animosity towards them. Forgiveness does not always mean you have to be best friends with them. Forgiveness for me is being able to say salamu alaykum, hope you're doing well, I hope everything's going well for you, and not have any sort of like friction with a person. That's what forgiveness is, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. To swallow your anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So when you swallow your anger, there's a very beautiful Arabic grammar nuance to that. That when Allah says كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ, he means that when you have to swallow it, meaning you can't really show it. You know, there's some people who say, like, I forgive you, and they haven't forgiven you, right? They say, I forgive you, but they keep every single moment they have to bring up something, they bring it up. They bring up a past offense. They bring up a way in which you hurt them. they bring up this in a joking manner, or they bring up that in a passive aggressive manner. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is being able to say salamu alaykum, host a conversation with that person and say, I hope you're doing well. And then khalas, say wa alaykum salam. And that's it. You don't have to be best friends with people. It's not about, you know, forgiving people is not about being like, oh yeah, let's go hang out at the nearest Froyo. Like, let's go hang out, get bubble tea. Like, that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is being able to say assalamu alaykum wa alaykum salam and wish well upon somebody else. That's the definition of forgiveness. So if you're able to do that, then that is the forgiveness that you want to aim for, inshallah ta'ala. All right, y'all. Anybody else have any sort of questions, comments? You can actually post your questions at the bottom. I believe there's actually like a little thing where you can, like a question mark that you can post, or you can press and you can kind of ask a question on there. But if not, we actually ran a little bit over time today. I apologize for that. I was a little bit late. You know, we will have another session on Wednesday, which is the day before, I believe everybody probably in America at least has off for Thanksgiving break. And if you're not in America, well, when you just hang out with us anyway, inshallah. We hope that everybody has a good week coming forward, inshallah. We hope everybody has a happy week, with even if you're quarantined and you cannot see your family or your friends or whatever it is, and you're staying safe. We ask Allah to reward you immensely for considering the health and the well-being of people other than yourself. And, you know, may Allah reward that act of selflessness, and may Allah reward you with something better than anything that can be found on this earth. But jazakumullah khairan, y'all. Appreciate you guys very much. And we will see you guys on Wednesday for the next session here at Roots, the 5 series. Jazakumullah khairan, y'all. Wassalamu alaikum. Have a great rest of the evening.